Our scripture this morning is found on page 212 and 213 in your pew Bible. Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and Hebrews 12, 14, and 15. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarded its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Pursue peace with everyone, and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and through it may become defiled. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We turn to our scripture this morning. This is from Mark 14th chapter, verses 22 through 25. In our congregation, we honor the gospel by standing. If you are capable and comfortable doing so, I invite you to do so at this time. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, you will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now, I had an hour and a half sermon all planned. Yay. But given that we're a little bit short on time, I'll try and shorten this just a little bit and get on there. We want to remember to give thanks. Thanks and Thanksgiving. This is our Thanksgiving holiday, our Thanksgiving Sunday, if you will. And we celebrate. We celebrate all the things that we're thankful for. Sometimes we take them for granted. What about the clothes you're wearing on your backs? The clothes that you have, so many of them that you bring them to the food, or to the food bank, to the clothing bank. It's funny when you bring clothes to the food bank. That's another thing. But as we think about all the things we've received, we need to pause and thank God. Our very lives, the very creation around us. This morning, I didn't get up and see a lot of it, but did you see some of the frost on some of the trees? And the beauty of all of that. And then the blue sky and the sun coming out. It is a glorious morning. And it is God's morning. And we are grateful. I hope that on Thanksgiving we also pause and give thanks to the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. We heard about that. Sandy read that in our passage out of Hebrews. The cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. We talked a little bit about that. The people that helped build this building, that helped found this faith, that helped grow our denomination and grow this church, this building. Those saints that have gone before us. But those are not the ones that I emphasize on Thanksgiving. I turn to those saints in my life. Those saints that helped me grow up as a Christian. Can you think back about that? Think back about those who have helped you become who you are and how you are here and now. Think about those beloved ones. If they're alive, give them a hug and a thank you. If not, if they have passed into the realm of the saints, say a prayer of thanks for those great cloud of witnesses. We have lots to be thankful for the new members. There's a handful of people that will join later that couldn't join on this Sunday. So this celebration of new members will continue a little bit, and we're glad to have them, and they're going to do all the work for the next year. All of you that were tired and have jobs, you know, just hand it right off to them. And no, come on. But did you think about the vows as we did them? Did you think about the vow to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? Did you contemplate that and what that means, and what a gift it is? Jesus in our lives, Jesus always with us, sitting at the right hand of God on our behalf, and the gift of life and death and life again, the resurrection, the master teacher, the Prince of Peace, who is working us today. We renounced the spiritual forces of wickedness and rejected the evil powers of the world. That didn't seem like too hard a thing. You know, we reject all of those things, but sometimes I think maybe we need a couple of sermons just on thinking about what evil is and where evil is and how sometimes institutions can become the embodiments of that evil. And how different things need to be recognized for what they are. In our vows, we repented of our sin. Do you repent of your sin? No, that's something that United Methodists don't do very well. I don't know, Rich, do Lutherans do any better at accepting God's forgiveness after repentance? Yeah. We say the words, we repeat the liturgy. But do we accept that? We repent of those things we've done wrong and let them go because God is giving us forgiveness. And it's time to move on and not be held back by all of those things that were behind us, nor to do so again. It's interesting. I sometimes like the language. It says, do we vow, remember, to serve our Lord? The focus of serving God as our Lord. It kind of reminds me, and I mentioned that this morning as we were gathering with the new members. The Lord is the Lord of all around us. We're the serfs that work for God. Sometimes we forget that. We want it the other way around. We want God to work for us. And we get that upside down. But here is the one to whom we are owing all of our allegiance. We are pledging our allegiance to our Lord above all other allegiances. Broncos fans, Rocky fans, Nuggets fans, all of the different things to which we, in some ways, minor and half-heartedly pledge our allegiance and our support. But there is one allegiance above all of those, and we pledge allegiance to our God. I like the line about the church which God has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. And that's a huge statement. We do a good job here. We do a better job than many of our churches, and our district is the most diverse in our conference. It's wonderful. We gather with Koreans. We gather with the Simpsons, which is Japanese American. We gather with the Tongans. We gather with all people of all nations, and we begin to share with the world the wonder of God's diversity of all of those differences and how much they all bring to the table. What a celebration. All ages, nations, and races. Kind of interesting in the news this week, I was listening to the president of France, Emmanuel Macron. And he said they were at the 100-year anniversary of the ending of World War I. Did you see that? There was quite a gathering, quite a celebration, quite an acknowledgement. And he gave a pretty involved speech. But here's the quote. He delivered a forceful rebuke against rising nationalism. He called it a betrayal of patriotism and warned against old demons coming back to wreak chaos and death. I was impressed. He named it. He talked about it. We're seeing it in the world, and it is something for us to be aware of. And in our vows, we are called to reject the evil powers of this world. It's going on in different places. You've heard of the Me Too movement, and you've heard of some of the other movements of around justice. There's an interesting movement about usually men of great power abusing their power, abusing the people underneath them, and the people finally being able to find voice to say, this is no longer all right. This abuse has to end. There is something wrong with a mentality that says wealth gives you immunity from doing what's right. So we are in the midst of vowing to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. And there's that vow of support. Will you faithfully participate in your local church with your prayers? Oh, that's easy. Have you ever had a hard time praying for somebody? Well, think about that a minute. Think about some of the people that it is hard to pray for. And yet we are called to that. We are called to that. But it's easy to pray for the church until it isn't. Until somebody in the church offends you or you get mad at the church and you say, oh, those people, I'm just quitting that church. I'm going to go. It reminds me of the story. This man is on a desert island and the ship comes by and they spot him and they take him on board. And the captain says, are you the only person on the island? Oh, yeah, I'm the only one. He says, there are three huts on the island. We were just curious why there are three huts. Oh, and he says, well, that one over there, that's one of my house. And the captain says, well, what are the... Oh, that one, he says, that's my church. And the captain says, well, where's the other one? What's the other one? He says, that's the church I used to go to. How will we vow ourselves to be part of the church? And if there is struggle, we vow to say, we will work this out. We will acknowledge our humanity, our humility, our feet of clay, and we will be a people in Christ. Our presence, that's an easy one. We vow to be present, to be a part of. You know, I had a family once, and the mom and dad says, oh, we quit coming. We just didn't feel like we were being fed enough at church. And it wasn't about food, but they just weren't. And I said, well, there's more to just being fed about church. And they kind of shook their heads. And I thought, we've failed to help people realize that part of church is giving and part of church is taking. But the giving part is the part that they had missed. We talked about the saints that have gone before us, that have brought us here, that helped us be the Christians that they are, that we are. What about them? They weren't just taking, they were giving. What about some of the people here that benefit from our presence? And how much do we have to give, not just take? The church is about that. It's about growing. It's like a one-room schoolhouse, the most efficient educational system in the history of the world. The older ones were teaching the younger ones. And in the process of teaching, you learn a subject better than any other way. But as you grow, instead of being taught, you're also teaching. And so there is a progression. Participating in our presence. And then our gifts and our service. Our gifts and our service is pretty straightforward. There are some people with gifts. Some people can sing. Whenever I'm in the choir director is always doing this at me. I think that means that I'm not gifted with the voice. But what about the gift of painting? I couldn't paint a picture, a portrait, if I had to. If my life, it would be a stick figure, and even that would be crude. I have some gifts with electronics, electrics. I can light boilers on a furnace. So I have some gifts and graces. All of us have some gifts and graces. And all of those we bring together, and Christ multiplies them. Now, it was not too long ago that was the end of the vow, but they've added a piece on the end there. Have you heard that? Will you support the church with your witness? I'm always tickled because you say that and United Methodists get really quiet. You can almost feel them squirm. Witnessing. Because we have this vision of witnessing that's like going down on the 16th Street Mall and standing on a soapbox. And it just, that's not who most United Methodists are. There's a few that are evangelists with that bent, perhaps, but that's not the witness that they're talking about either. That's not the witness that we're being called to be about. It's about witnessing who we are as children of Christ. And not by standing on a street corner or it goes back to those saints that we were talking about. Those saints that have gone before us, they witnessed to us to make us who we are. How did they do that? How did they reach out and touch us and offer that wonderful love that we have come to know? And how can we do that same? That, my friends, that's what we're called to be about. Offering the love of Christ. Witnessing the love that we've received. And showing that it is for people of all ages, nations, and races. Welcome, new members. Thank you, old members, for your vows. In the name of Christ, amen.